Mr. and Mrs. America, time to wake up. You are sleepwalking through your investing. We're going to talk to co-authors of a new book called Uninvested, How Wall Street Hijacks Your Money and How to Fight Back. I'm John Wardock reporting that on Your Money Matters.
Your Money Matters has you covered all week long. Money Beat Monday, Stock Talk Tuesday, Wealth Wednesday, Heard on the Street Thursday, and Financial Free-for-All Friday. Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Ambition comes with earbuds. Now, Stock Talk.
Joining us on the line is Bobby Monks and Justin Jaffe. They have written a book called Uninvested, How Wall Street Hijacks Your Money and How to Fight Back. If you are getting ready for retirement, if you are trying to save some money for your golden years, and I use that in quotations, Bobby and Justin have some information they want you to know about what Wall Street is doing with your money. First of all, gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks.
So, Bobby, why did you write this book with Justin?
Well, I think what we are doing is shining some light on the fact that the average investor is being systematically taken advantage of by the financial services industry. And by average investor, we mean anyone who has a 401k, anyone who has an IRA, anyone who's invested in a mutual fund. Now, we're not saying that every money manager is a boogeyman. What we are saying is that the system is broken. For example, 90% of the financial advisors don't have to put the best interest of the client first. The way fees are charged, they're often multi-layered and they're often undisclosed. And it's the only business that I know, having been an entrepreneur and a capitalist my whole career, where you can get paid even if you lose somebody money. And what we try to do is, for the average investor, is demystify the system so they know how the system works. And then we offer them a series of tools so that they can regain control over their investing process and renegotiate their contract with their money manager.
Now, Justin, a lot of people don't really have time to look at their 401k statements or their IRA statements. It's hard enough getting up in the morning, making the coffee, making the lunches, letting the dog out, making sure the kids get off to school, assuming that they're healthy and they don't have a cold or the flu, making sure your kids do well in school. By the way, there's soccer practice this afternoon and baseball on Saturday. Oh, by the way, I haven't even opened my 401k statement yet or my IRA. I don't have any time for that. So, Justin, how are you going to help people if they don't even have time to look after their own financial information?
Wow, John, you nailed it. You really just described my day to a T there. But you know, part of what we're doing here is trying to get people to wake up and understand how important this is. You know, the difference between what people have saved for retirement and what they should have is about $7 trillion, at least $7 trillion. And so we're talking about big numbers, and on an individual basis, you know, when people don't pay attention to the high fees that they're paying and the conflicts of interest that Bobby was alluding to, there's real money involved, and that can add up to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over a lifetime. So part of what we're doing is trying to impress upon people that they really do need to look at this. And, you know, people will spend hours researching what vacuum cleaner to buy on Amazon.com. And like you said, they won't give a look to their 401k statement, where there's so much more money potentially involved with your investments.
And Bobby, I was looking through the book and I noticed you used the word fleece. That's a pretty harsh word. That has criminal elements to it. Are you saying Wall Street is doing something illegal?
No, I would characterize it as being legal larceny, if you will. I think the way the system has evolved is it has allowed the financial service industry essentially to do things which are not in the best interest of the client, but are in the best interest of the financial industry. Let me give you some examples of that. Revenue sharing, are you familiar with that process? Well, if in a 401k, there are a series of mutual fund or index funds which are on the menu. often how they get on the menu is, in my opinion, is suspect. And what happens is that the owners of the mutual fund essentially pay the administrator to get onto that menu. And that's a very common practice. It is legal. But obviously, that's not good for the average investor. And what Justin and I call it is legal larceny.
And Justin, it sounds like you and Bobby are suggesting that people get more involved in what goes on with their money once they do their monthly investment in their 401k or if they take it out per paycheck. So check off one or two tips here. What are one, two, three, or four things people should be doing to become more active and to stop sleepwalking through their investing?
Yeah, and it's a really good point. And the things that they can do aren't terribly complex. We're not talking about turning your life upside down and becoming, you know, an MBA or being certified as an accountant. What we're talking about here is getting together with the people who manage your money and asking them questions. So the first one would be, are you a fiduciary? Do you have to put my interests first here? And that really lays the foundation for everything that comes after. If you've got someone who's managing your money but doesn't have to put your interest first and instead only has to put you into suitable investments, well, that's something that you want to know and something that you should know, and you should understand what the implications of that are. I think after that, you want to understand, what are the fees that you're paying? How high are they? What are those based on? I think you deserve to know how your money manager is compensated. And so, you know, it really just, all of these things only get you closer to understanding what your arrangement is and how, you know, what you stand to gain, what the manager or the company who's managing your money stands to gain. And I think that having a better understanding of that really puts you in a pole position to make better decisions about how to invest your money. And also to probably save a lot of money in the long run.
So, Bobby, when people look at fees, they are going to realize, wow, where did all that money go? I mean, even if you're doing well saving money in your 401k and you have $1 million, if you're lucky enough to save $1 million for retirement, eventually one of the big investment houses is going to come and take some fees out of that, right? How big are we talking about here? And do you think that is what's going to wake people up and make them realize, gee, I have to be more activist here?
Well, I think that's definitely the case. And just to give you some idea of the scope of the fees, there can be up to 19 different fees in a 401k. The way it works is you have an administrator, they charge you a fee, they hire a manager, they charge you another fee, they put you in a mutual fund, that's another fee, and then, of course, the mutual fund has trading costs, so there's a fourth fee. It can be up to 2.5% even higher than that. And let me give you an idea, John, about how much that costs. Just a 1% fee with a $25,000 investment over 35 years with a 7% annual return would cost the average investor $65,000. So we're not talking, you know, small dollars here. This has a big impact. And it has a big impact when the market's going up, but imagine of the impact that it has when the market's going down, because that has the effect of cannibalizing your account.
Justin, how has the mutual fund industry greeted your book?
You know, it's been kind of interesting. We've had, I would say, 99% violent agreement with everything that we put into this book. You know, we went out and we talked to Jack Bogle, we talked to Carl Icahn, we talked to Barney Frank, and we talked to dozens of people at various levels in the financial industry, and nobody disagreed with our arguments. Nobody disagreed with the facts that are in this book. And I think to a large degree, this is just sort of the calcification of the financial industry. This has become business as usual. And, you know, conflicts of interest are okay as long as they're disclosed. And high fees are, you know, a fact of life. And what we're trying to do is say, no, these things are, this is kind of insane. And people need to wake up to these things and push back on them. And so I think that, you know, to some degree, we've been heartened by the reception that we've got.